Welcome to the Lovemakers Podcast, your guide to navigating love and relationships, brought to you by Inner Meets Outer, and your hosts, Jade Huang and Daniel Meyer, partners both in life and in coaching. Each episode, we'll share practical tips and insights for all stages of your relationship journey. This podcast is part of Inner Meets Outer's mission to empower you with agency and gratitude, both in your love life and your life at large. So join us as we dive into the world of love together. Welcome back, lovemakers, to another episode. I'm Daniel, joined here, as always, with my lovely partner, partner in life, partner in crime, partner in everything, Jade. Hi, Jade.
Hi.
Oh, isn't that a beautiful voice? It's like magic to my ears. Well, everybody, this week is part four of our four-part series on Conflict Resolution 101, a series focused on nonviolent communication, or NVC, as it's called, we've covered, observing without judgment, stating feelings, and identifying needs. And in this episode, we're going to finish it off. We're going to recap everything that we've talked about so far, but we're also going to introduce step four to the process, which is all about making compassionate requests to the other person. Jade, before we go any further, can you recap steps 1, 2, and 3 of NVC, what we covered in regards to those steps and how we got to this point?
So the first step of nonviolent communication is all about observing without judging. When I describe a situation, instead of saying, "You're like this," and I say, "I see this way, I observe this way. You're right. This way is a judging, and observing is like, I perceive this way." And then step two is stating feelings. And this is also another thing that you're bringing back the power to you. So I feel this way, instead of I feel like you're an asshole.
an opportunity to, you know, like a backdoor to calling somebody a name or bringing up another kind of judgment.
Yeah, it's definitely stating feelings like I feel disappointed, I feel sad, I feel angry. Understanding what are actual feelings are really important in this step. And number three is identifying needs. Needs in nonviolent communication refers to our universal human needs like connection, understanding, physical nourishment, autonomy, and meaning, etc. Rather than making demands, stating our authentic needs helps create clarity, empathy, and understanding.
I love that. And needs, as described by NVC, is more about like what's alive in you in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
What need, what desire is pushing itself to the surface? And NVC creates this space that allows you to communicate that in an empathetic, compassionate way, creates a sort of mindset in which we can share back and forth what's alive in us. Now, of course, it sounds beautiful and it's not always perfect. So now we've set the stage for communicating our needs. We've done it by observing, not judging, stating our emotions, and then stating our need. And the final step in this NVC process are compassionate requests. And requests are a vital step after we've observed the situation, objectively named our feelings, got in touch with our needs, and then now we've set the stage to make a compassionate request towards our partner so that we can tell them what's the best way in which my need can get met. Now, that doesn't mean they have to do it. It's not a demand, and we're going to get into the difference between making a demand and making a compassionate request. But it does give your partner kind of a starting point by which to have this conversation about how to get your needs met. And why do we make requests?
Request is an expression of a need or want that is made in a respectful and non-threatening way. And it leaves room for choice. So whenever we demand This is more like, you do this, otherwise I'm going to feel this way. Whereas non-threatening way and have a choice means I would maybe really like you to do this, but if you don't, I'm going to be okay. So in the last episode, we talked about the strategy, and I think it's connected to that strategy part. When we are attached to one specific strategy with a specific need, that's where conflicts arise. When we talk about having more choices and having more strategies, can make it a lot easier for two different people in the conversation. So that I have a need for relaxation, and maybe one of my strategies can be meditation, but maybe you don't want that right now. Then we can maybe have a little brainstorming session to come up with something that we can both enjoy.
Creative collaboration.
Oh, I love choice. That.
Yeah. Because we want to respect the other person's autonomy. Mm-hmm. And if we make a demand, for example, let's just maybe throw out an example here that help illustrate what we're talking about. If you're coming home late from work, mm-hmm. I think we used a similar example last time. So let's go with that one. You're coming home late. Your partner's coming home 4 or 5 hours late, 4 or 5 times a week. And you've gone through the steps. You've observed, told them how you feel about it, and you communicated the need. And now you're on the request. And a demand might look like, I need you to text me when you're running late from work.
Mm.
Right? There's no space there for collaboration. There's no space there for choice. I need you to do this. So that's, again, I mean, we kind of touched on this last week. And when we communicate our needs, we want to try to stay away from communicating them in a way in which it's demanding, in a way which this is the one strategy that you need to meet in order for me to be happy, right? Because it's not good for either party. If you're making a demand, then you're setting up a very narrow window in which you and your partner can be happy.
Mm.
Very narrow space.
Right.
If this demand is not met, I'm not happy and you're not happy. You're probably not happy meeting the demand because it's a demand.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that.
So what that might look like instead is not, I need you to text me when you're running late home from work, but let's go through the steps. I've noticed you're come home 4 or 5 hours late 4 times this week, and I feel stressed and anxious because I have a need to know that you're safe and that you're okay. And you notice already that I'm softening my language. Can you possibly text me if you know you're going to be late? Okay?
Mm.
So there, no demand. It's a question. It's leaving space open for a choice.
Right. I think the request works best when they're specific. When you are catching up with friends or when you're organizing catch-ups, I think when I receive a message, like somebody giving me options, but specific options, I actually find that is very respectful instead of like open-ended. So for example, hey, let's catch up next week. When are you free? That sounds perfect, right? But when you think about like your daily life, it's really busy. And if they actually give you saying, hey, I'm free Monday and Wednesday from 5 to 10, and would you be free in any of those times? Then it's going to save a lot of time and energy. And I see this request part is maybe a little bit similar when you're being specific. Hey, I'd really like if you can do this for me, but that if that's not vague or not a criticism about the past behaviors, then it's a lot easier for the other person to respond in a better way. And I think if we don't do this properly, we can just go into the blaming statement, like you never communicate when you'll be home, things like that. Then the other person who's receiving would get really defensive about it.
We want to set the stage for collaboration, not set the stage for criticism.
Yeah.
And I think we all know the difference.
Yeah.
We all, when we speak to the other person, we know if we're trying to be righteous or we're trying to collaborate.
So it's not like I want to control you. It's more how can we be creative to meet both of our needs And also we respect for other person's autonomy as well to choose how they respond. So it is really all about cultivating mutual understanding.
Yeah, I love that. I have a question, Jade.
Yeah.
I think some people, including myself, might hear, let's not make a demand.
Yeah.
Let's not choose one strict strategy by which our needs can get met. But yet you say we should be specific with our request. So where is the difference there between being specific, but also not being too strict?
So being specific doesn't mean there's only one option. So like my example that I give you, okay, hey, I'm free next week, Monday 3 and Wednesday 5 and Friday 3, right? So I give you an option. So if you choose one of them, great. But if you don't, you might not be free. We can then come back to the ground and, okay, maybe next week is not a good time for us. Then how about another week, right? So this is opening up the options. However, because we don't read people's mind, so if we say like, let's just catch up when you're free next. Sometimes I get triggered by that when somebody actually approaches me with a business stuff and, hey, when are you free? And I know they're being really generous. They want to give me a lot of freedom in the morning or in the afternoon or over Zoom. There are so many things to think about. And then that thinking requires a lot of energy.
I agree. And I will add, like, I also think a difference is just in the mindset. Even if there's only, you can only think of one very specific way in which to get your needs met. Going into that and thinking there's no other possibility but this one method. I'm not even open to collaboration and I don't want to give my partner choice. That is what we want to stay away from.
Yeah.
You can have that one specific strategy, that one specific request. That's great. But if you go in with the idea that I'm going to request this and this is the only way in which I'm going to get my need met, and if it's not met this way, then I'm going to be triggered towards my partner, or I'm going to be upset that my partner can't do this or won't do this. So I think it's also a mindset thing.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to think about it as well. So, okay, you meet your needs, you request it, and your partner did it for you. But do you really want that if that is not coming from their genuine will? They're actually just doing it to make you feel good. Maybe once in a while, occasionally, that's fine. But you're in a partnership with somebody and you know they're actually doing it for the sake of not creating any drama. You probably don't want that. So I think understanding that there is always a choice, and also understanding, oh, this is really important to me. And you communicate constantly to meet in the middle. However, there's no guarantee the other person will actually do what you request. And I think being okay with it, maybe that's the hardest one, but it's almost the most important part when we do this kind of communication.
I agree. It's not easy, but it's also super important.
Mm.
All right. Let's look at some examples in our creamy section. Some very straightforward examples on what making a compassionate request looks like. So imagine one partner has the duty of taking out the trash. They've agreed upon different household chores, and one partner has the duty, the chore of taking out the trash, but it hasn't been done recently. So it might look like this. I've noticed the recycling bin, Jade, has been overflowing the past few weeks. I'm feeling frustrated because I have needs for an organized living space and shared responsibility. Would you be able to set a weekly phone reminder to take out the recycling, to take out the trash? Now, I think I've made a pretty clear, doable request there at the end. Would you be able to set a weekly phone reminder to take out the recycling, to take out the trash? What do you think? Does that work, Jade?
Yeah, and I think just understand that maybe the other person wouldn't want to do that. That's okay too. The bottom line is you're giving them a specific request. So the other person knows, okay, maybe not a big deal. Maybe they didn't even think about it, right? Often when we do this kind of request, we are worried that we might come across as needy or maybe too demanding. But I think there's a huge difference between demand and if you don't do it, you're going to be in trouble versus you're giving them, oh, like, how about this? It's a suggestion.
Right. And you're free to come back in this example and say, no, I don't know if a phone reminder is going to work for me.
Yeah. Or you can even say, well, actually, recycling hasn't been happening. Can we come back to our house chores and then re-decide our task, maybe? So we open up the conversation into not only to solve the problem of doing the recycling done, but just the overall system, right? So you just open up the conversation to find out better way to deal with it. Here is another example of this four steps with a request as well. So let's say one of your friends keeps canceling plans last minute. You're meeting at 3 o'clock and messaging you at 3:05. Hey, I'm sorry, I'm stuck at work. And then you notice yourself feeling a little bit resentful about it. And so how can we bring this to the four steps of conversation? The step one is observation. So you can say, hey, I've noticed that you canceled last three hangouts because of work. And then step two is you're saying your feelings and I'm feeling disappointed. And then step three is because I'm really needing more consistency and the connection. And the request can be, hey, for our next hangout, if something comes up, can you maybe at least let me know or text me with 1 hour beforehand so that I can plan other stuff?
Yeah, I think that's a very clear request. And it opens up the possibility for the other person to say no. Or I think maybe we need to change it in this way. Maybe they can't block off 2 hours exclusively just for a hangout. Right? Not possible with their work schedule. And then, but that starts that conversation at least, where they can have a back and forth. Hopefully doesn't begin with some defensiveness, with a judging. Yeah, you're always so late. You don't care about this friendship.
Yeah, then I feel super defensive all of a sudden, because if I was the other person's point of view, I am trying to make the plan that I made with a friend, but my work is like so demanding. So I was trying to make both work, and then my friend comes back to me like, you don't care about us.
Can you imagine that in a relationship, a romantic relationship, and just how defensive, how quickly it can get if you start with something like, you're always late for our dates. I feel like you don't even care about us anymore. You don't care about our marriage. You don't care about me. And then it just spirals from there. Because if I said something like that to you, Jade, you don't care about this relationship. You're always late. You don't care about me. Your only option at that point really is to defend yourself in some way.
Yeah. What's really important here is when we're doing the NBC with somebody else, it's not only you get to express your needs and feelings and observation and request. So maybe I just did my part. I said, hey, can you make sure that you message me an hour before? And the other person can now open up and say, they start, hey, I notice and I feel and I need, and that's my request as well. Because, you know, like I said, maybe the other person who's been canceling plans have a huge need in work and life balance and things like that. Then when you do this kind of conversation, then you get to know the other person better. This is where they're coming from.
Yeah. And I'd say, I think we're going to get into this in our key takeaways, but I'm going to spoiler. That's one of my keyest takeaways from NVC is, you know, we could get bogged down in the language of it or the vocabulary of it, but ultimately it just boils down to wanting to know what's alive in the other person and having that mindset, going into the conversation with that mindset, with that empathetic, compassionate, open heart mindset, not only to express yourself in that way, but to listen in return, this back and forth. I think that's the most important point.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at an example in our crunchy section that is maybe not so straightforward.
Right.
An example possibly where both parties have needs that are unmet and they conflict with each other. How might a conversation like that go with NVC? And how would the request look like? Let's look at this example, this challenging example. Imagine you're a couple who have just moved in with each other, maybe just got married or just moved in, starting a new stage of your relationship, and something becomes apparent very quickly. One of you is super minimalist, don't like objects anywhere laying about, love everything ordered and in its place. And the other person is maybe not messy, but enjoys having objects in their space, things that maybe remind them of childhood or people that are important to them. And in this scenario, where there's maybe lots of fights going on about how to organize the apartment or the house, it might not be as easy as going to your partner and saying, making a request of, hey, can you get rid of half of your stuff so that you meet my need of orderliness? It might have to look a little bit different in this circumstance because it's quite apparent that both people have very strong needs about how their space is organized, right? So instead, it could look like, hey, I've noticed there's a lot of tension between the two of us in terms of how we organize the space. And this makes me feel a little bit overwhelmed and sad because I have a need for us to have mutual understanding, to get along and be connected. Can we, and here's where the request comes in, can we take a moment to sit down and work this out so we can come to a resolution that works for both of us? And there, the request isn't a necessarily specific strategy, but more of a request to reflect together, to get together and collaborate. And it's just the beginning of what will turn out to be a solution.
So when you do that, you're kind of like expressing your want to understand the other person's inner world better. And you can share yours and I can share mine. One of my favorite words here is the creative solution. So you can get creative solutions that can work for both of you, right? So I think it might not end after that single conversation, of course. That's only one of them, but you're just starting a conversation. And maybe the first one, we don't solve anything. We just understand a little more the other person, but then repeated conversation in a different way, we're going to connect to each other a little bit more.
Exactly. I think that gets back to what I was talking earlier about the Kias point, is coming in with this mindset of compassion and empathy, trying to understand the other person, wanting to understand the other person.
Yeah.
And wanting them to try to understand you.
Yeah.
And working together to get that done.
Mm. Now, I have a question. I'm wondering, what's the difference between request and boundary?
I think often the two are conflated in media, on Instagram. But I think there's a very distinct difference between the two. A boundary is something I set that requires nothing from you, whereas a request is something that I ask of you, and you have the choice to complete or not. A boundary, there's no choice in that matter. So a boundary might look like, as a teacher, I set boundaries from time to time. A boundary that I set with my students is, if you message me after work hours, I will not check it because that is not my work hours. There's a very clear boundary. It requires nothing of them. It's just, if you message me, I will not return it. Now, a request might look like to the same student, can you please not message me after 5 p.m. because I don't want to have to check it. There, I'm requesting something that they would have to do or not do. There's a choice involved. The other one, there's no choice. I'm just not going to return their message. No choice for them. Mm-hmm. Now, when people say, that person didn't respect my boundaries, that is probably a clear sign that actually a boundary was not set, not in the terms that I am describing now. So if my student messaged me after 5 p.m. after I said, I'm not going to return. It's not that they're not respecting my boundaries. It's up to me from that point to respect my own boundaries and say, I'm not going to return that message because I already set that boundary with the student that I'm not going to return the message after 5 p.m.
So yeah. Boundary is more coming from you and you do it. So the other person yeah. doesn't change anything about it. Request is to opening up, hey, would you be willing to do that?
Let's do a whole podcast on boundaries. What yeah. do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, everybody, we're going to do another podcast sometime in the near future on boundaries because I love this topic as well.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about what a boundary is and what it looks like mm-hmm. and what it's not and how to set good, healthy boundaries. And I have a sort of crunchy question for you, Jade. I think lots of people are wondering, do I need to go through every step of this process exactly as laid out? Are there any steps that maybe I could skip? Or is there a way to look at this or use it effectively without using all the steps? And what would you say to them?
I would say absolutely there is no one way to practice. I think it's more understanding your needs. And so once you get used to this, you don't even realize you're doing steps. And for me now, when I'm doing it directly to my needs, okay, what is the need that I'm not meeting here? So I don't even have to do step one and two. And I think specifically step four request, you don't always even have to go to step four because like you and I, when we have this communication, we share how we feel and our needs. And then from that, we understand each other better and there's no other person involved to solve the problem. Because remember the conversation we had about your game playing? And I thought that was my needs for safety, but I understood after just having the chat, I realized, oh, maybe it's more my projecting to myself. So it's that self-awareness makes me feel like I don't even need to request from you. Right. So I don't know if that
exactly
answers your question, but it's more on understanding what's alive right now than really following through the strictly steps 1, 2, 3, 4 and focusing on words.
And I have a follow-up question. Which step is eating peanut butter? Is that like, do you do that step like pre-step one or is that step 5? I feel like it should be before and after step.
I think eating peanut butter is like step 0 and step 5.
Yeah. Did you like that? I feel like it should be a step. That's an emotion. The absence of peanut butter is definitely an emotion. I feel like it needs to be everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on before this episode gets too long. Let's move on to our NBC Conflict Resolution 101 key takeaways. Wrapping up this 4-part series, Jade, what is your keyest takeaway?
Mine is, so practicing NBC is like needs-oriented state of being, which always takes place at this very moment. That's my key takeaway. It's going beyond the notion of right or wrong, what's alive in person, like in me, in this very moment. So it's not about getting to the destination, and it's more like opening doors. Oh, what's out there? Oh, what's here?
I see that as almost a Buddhist mindset of just observing the world, observing without judgment. And I think that's the beauty of this language, is observing and trying to understand or know what's alive in the other person. And that's my keyest takeaway, is having those giraffe ears. I think that's the most difficult part of this whole process, is not so much communicating your own needs and understanding your own needs. That's difficult as well. Mm-hmm. But hearing the other person, really hearing the other person in a conversation, when they are trying to communicate their needs, or when they are maybe not communicating in a giraffe way. Maybe they're not communicating in an MBC way and still approaching it with giraffe ears, still approaching it with a compassionate, empathetic heart, trying to understand what's alive in them in this moment. That, I think, is Makia's takeaway, because that's the most difficult part, at least for me, it's the most difficult.
And I think it's perfectly fitting in our Ina Mitsuharu's mission on agency and gratitude, because agency is an autonomy. We respect my agency and someone else's agency, so we're giving choices always, and feeling yes. grateful for the whole conversation happening, because the process of having this conversation is understanding each other. And how amazing is that to feel what's alive in each other's state of being right now?
Yes. It's such a better space to be, I think, than a passive, this is happening to me state of being.
Yeah. And also, I want to say learning and understanding this amazing tool is one thing, but what's more important is practice it. Because sometimes knowing something and you're not practicing it make you feel guilty. So understand this, and even if it's not perfect, practice it little by little. And a goal is to get to the point where we feel more connected to the other person.
Yeah. And I think we are definitely just as guilty as the next person at not practicing it 100%. We just had an mm-hmm. argument a couple nights ago in which both of us went to bed upset, and neither of us did a very good job at listening to the other with giraffe ears. And we definitely could have done better. But after, and I think this is where we've seen improvement in our own relationship, is we're able to come back to that situation, come back to the conflict when we're in a better space, and then speak more compassionately, speak with giraffe language, and hear with giraffe ears. Sometimes it takes a little bit more time.
Yeah,
I know we're getting better at it, and that time is getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, definitely feel more empathetic towards your needs as well. I think learning this conversation that sometimes I see you are upset, and now I'm a little bit more curious, oh, what is a need that is not met, you know? And that alone, I think, serves the purpose of learning this, because now I can see myself a little bit more empathetic. Oh, yeah, it's just unmet needs. What could that be? I want to know.
Yeah, it's definitely not a magic pill you just use, swallow, and then all of a sudden all your conflicts are erased. Our takeaway is this is difficult. It's not easy, but it's so much better to live in a space of trying to live in a space of empathy and compassion rather than unknowingly living in a space of victimhood and righteousness. Jade, any last words before we sign off?
My last words would be, I love you all. And just make sure you practice, not just to understand.
Please do, and let us know how it goes. All right, lovemakers. Bye.
Bye.
If today's conversation resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe on your platform of choice. Your feedback also means the world to us. It's a moment to leave a review and let us know your thoughts. That would be amazing. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at daniel@innermeetsouter.com or jade@innermeetsouter.com. And that's Jade with a Y. And for a regular dose of love and inspiration, make sure to check out and subscribe to Inner Meets Outer's newsletter. And you can see that at innermeetsouter.com, where we also have so many other resources that we speak about in the show. So thanks for tuning in. Until next time, keep nurturing that beautiful connection between your inner self and the outer world. We love you.